Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, everyone. This is Carly. It's Monday the 18th. Okay, I got the date right, and I got the date, and I got the date and the time right for once in my life, and I think this is probably one of the busiest weeks for daytime after dark. I think we have guests all week long, you know. I think that's correct. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before in my little life. But I don't think I am. And I just want to say, I hope everyone had a great weekend and a great Martin Luther King's birthday off. And I can't believe one of my favorite guests is in the house tonight. Oh, my God. Every time we talk, I know I go probably past my 15-minute window and then my co-host and my host on. But he's handsome, guys. So what do I do? What is a girl supposed to do on this? Okay, you guys, Ron Echoed is back. And hopefully we will be bashing someone who's leaving the White House in less than 48 hours. So let me bring him on.
Hey! How are you?
I'm good. I got my vaccine yesterday.
And oh, wow. Good for you.
Well, I just want to warn everyone out there, you might feel tired the day after, and your arm will hurt, and you might feel hot and cold for the day, the next day. So, but beside that, so far, I haven't had any side effects, you guys, and it was like, I didn't even feel the needle going in, so it was quick. And then I have to go back in 20 days to get my second one. I have no idea why they are making me get two shots, but fine, I do it, fine. So, Ron, you and I are probably the happiest two people right now, huh? 48 hours. Okay, yes, I'm doing the countdown. I am doing the countdown. I'm horrible, I know. But I don't.
Well,
think
not
I've
my
done
friend. What's that?
What?
I was just going to say you're not. I have friends that are already chilling their champagne. They are really planning for this.
I mean, you're probably one of my favorite guests ever on here. And so when David got you the week, the week of everything finally going right for us, I had to get you on here because I had to ask you, what in the heck? Well, I'm in hell, but heck, we are now.
You can't say hell on here. You can only say
week.
Heck.
Well, yeah.
It was,
hell,
last week.
What were you thinking with the capital? I mean, what was your thoughts when you
disbelief,
were watching it?
I couldn't believe. Well, first of all, I have a lot of thoughts. I couldn't believe it was happening. I couldn't believe these boneheads were able to pull it off. And they're in there. They've got – it's like, okay, now what? Now that we're in, I don't think they even expected to get in because they had no plan. And that's – and I've been saying this since, like, forever with my problem with Republicans mostly and Trump supporters is they're very short-sighted. They must be horrible chess players because say they were successful, say they did get in there and overthrow the government, then what? So Trump is not a legitimate president, then every other country on the planet, well, with the exception of maybe Russia, Russia might, well, even Russia probably wouldn't. But so we would not, Trump would not be treated as a legitimate president. There would be sanctions placed against us. Our assets would be frozen. And that would be the tip of the iceberg of all the things that, all the problems that would come our way. So they really, like, they don't think these things out. And that's been my problem with them from, you know, they just don't seem to think. They have no, they just, they're very short-sighted. They can't think for themselves. So, and yet we're the sheeple. But anyway.
I mean, I was watching everything unfolded, and I'm like, okay, number one, people, we are under attack. I'm sorry if people want to call them protesters. They won't. That day. They
no, they
like
were not
curious.
Protesters.
No, they
There's
were
no
curious.
Such thing.
And
yeah, what is this?
Knowing,
armed protest.
Yes.
That's
and
not a protest.
Knowing that some of them, this was an inside job. And
oh, yeah. That's,
I mean,
that is
for me,
wild.
That was the hardest thing to take. That it was like a inside job, and I kept watching it. You know, I'm like, okay, maybe General Hospital will be saved today. Maybe I won't be watching this all day. This was my thought, and I was clearly mistaken. So I'm watching it unfold before my eyes. I'm like, okay,
well,
I'd rather see the mob on the General Hospital by now, because at least that could be explained away, but this can't. And when he came on TV at 3 p.m., West Coast time, and basically he told everyone to go home, but in the same breath, he had the audacity to say the election was stolen from him. And that's when I threw my pillow, because I don't want to break my TV. But I wanted
well,
to
especially if you, I hope you threw one of those my pillows.
Well, yeah, okay, that's another thing. Yeah. See, before I knew that guy was a bad guy. Yes, but like my pillow was the only one that actually helped my neck. So I won't buy any more products from him, but I just can't believe I threw my pillow, don't worry, at the TV. And I got mad because I'm like, wait a moment. You're telling everyone to go home, but then you're telling everyone the election got stolen from you because you're hoping there will be more rioting. You don't really want everyone to go home, you jackass.
Well, that's the way mob bosses talk. They speak in code, so you know what they mean. They don't have to say it because they know the feds are listening. So they say it in a way so he can say, no, I didn't say that. Did you hear me say that? I didn't say that. But everybody knows what he means. We're on to it. We've been on to it. Here's the thing, though. Those people believe him. They really, really believe all of that. And speaking with family members, I was speaking to a family member. We were talking, and we were going through it. They're talking about how the election was stolen, and so that we went through a couple of the examples. He said he'd seen videos of someone inserting a ballot twice. And I said, you know what I've seen? I've seen videos of fire-breathing flying dragons. But I know those aren't real. And you got to be smart enough to think for yourself. And then this other thing with the – Trump says there's hundreds of thousands of forged ballots. So I went through it with – this family member that will, I'm not going to say who it is, but I said, okay, let's pretend. Let's say we're going to do that. How would we do that? And let's pretend that we don't want to get caught. How are we going to do that? First of all, we've got to find we got to find 100,000 ballots. And then and we can't get them all from the same area because then we'll get caught. So we got to get them from all over. Then we got to find 100,000 people that don't plan to vote, because if we send in a ballot and they send in a ballot, we're going to get caught. Then not only – so we got to get their ballots. Then we got to get their signatures. We got to collect 100,000 signatures from all these people and then try to copy those signatures without getting caught. And then I said, you know, and how long – have you ever tried to forge a signature? He said yes on his mom. He tried to forge his mom's figures on a paper for school. And I said, well, how long did that take? And he said, well, it took quite a while because I had to do it several times. I was like, well, how many – So we're talking about several minutes, maybe longer, per ballot times 100,000. So you're not going to get this done by yourself. You're going to need help. So you're going to have to get all this help to pull all this off, and then no one is going to say a word to anyone because you don't want to get caught. And if people talk, you'll get caught. And so by the time we got to the end of that, it's like, yeah, that probably didn't happen. But – it's the same with all of them. They don't think about it. They just repeat it. It's like, oh, yeah, 100,000 ballots were forged. And they just like, yep, that sounds right to me, and just go right on and with the next falsehood. So that's the disappointing part, is that my family, anyway, I know these people are smart enough to think for themselves. And maybe they do have – maybe there is something in there that there may be some – and they're right. I mean, I guess when they change the laws, that would be a more legitimate argument for me. But the other side of that is we're in a pandemic, and so yeah, we're going to change. This isn't business as usual. It could be deadly to go vote as usual. So yeah, we're going to change it. But it really doesn't matter. And the thing is, it's just about supporting Trump. It doesn't even matter. Here's the other great example is this anti-mask thing. I asked the same person, we're going on, and he's going on about his rights of not to wear a mask, and it's his rights, his rights. I said, well, if Trump asked you to wear a mask, would you wear a mask? He said, yeah, I'd wear a mask. I said, so it's really not about your rights, is it? Because your rights would be just as violated if Trump asked you to do it as anyone else. So it's not about your rights. But anyway, blah, blah, blah. I could go.
And you know, you also right, because it is like, and I'm sorry, but, okay, Giuliani, I have a big problem with right now because, okay, on Z8, Alexis lost her law license for sleeping with a doctor. Okay. But in a real America, what Giuliani has done, citing a riot and everything else illegal he has done, everything people don't know he has done, and he still is practicing law, is beyond me right now, because I just want to, I don't know. I want to throw
he had a lot of political goodwill from 9/11, and everybody in the country loved him for the way he, like, you know, he stepped up and took a hold of that situation, and Giuliani was our man, but that guy is gone. Some body snatcher has taken that Giuliani, and we've got this clown. It's just he's it's so sad to see what has become of him. And and I think that's what it is everybody's like, you know, then I hear they may disbar him, but nobody wants to, because we remember, you know, and love the Giuliani from 9/11, and it's tough.
Thinking back to 9/11, and Trump and Giuliani wasn't agreeing on anything with 9/11, and of course, you know, Trump wanted to blame everyone but, you know, the terrorists for this. And but Giuliani,
the Saudis, by the way.
Different. So in my mind, I'm like, but then you become best friend with him and you've been wiping his butt. I'm sorry, you guys. In my opinion, that's what's going on between Giuliani and Trump. And either they have something so blackmailers over each other. This is how I see it. They are scared to say anything. Same as Mike Pence. You know, last week, okay, he could have did the 25th Amendment. He could have done it. But the point was he didn't. And, you know, the point was I think something is going on there between Trump and him, there's blackmail city, and that's why he didn't do it. I mean, but after, you know, he didn't do what he wanted, Trump called him out. And I'm like, okay, so the guy you've been protecting for 4 years called you out and you still are okay with him? I mean,
it would have taken me like 2 minutes after a mob is after me, you know, he's trying to hang me. I would have started it before I even got out of there safely. I say this man is crazy and he needs to be removed. Well, the other part of that, maybe he knows. I mean, but it does take a majority of the cabinet. So, and they were dropping like flies. So maybe, you know, I don't know. Maybe Pence knew that he wasn't going to get the majority, and then it would just make him look even worse to this angry mob, because not only did he not, you know, save the election, but now he says Trump's crazy. So I don't know, you know, if maybe that's what was going on, is he knew that was never going to happen for him, so why make it worse in his own world?
Well, exactly, and breaking news, people, I just want to break news off Twitter. First Lady Melania Trump will break tradition not to invite Joe Biden for a walk through the house with the living quarters. Now, may I remind you, people, did Michelle really want to welcome those two in? No. No,
well, my only response is be best.
That, I mean, I'm not
ridiculous woman.
You know, I'm not surprised. But
yeah,
in a way,
we don't live in that house, so it, Lord only knows what it would be like for her if she did.
Saying that the White House will clean up as soon as Trump is out there, and I'm like thinking, okay, my biggest fear, and I haven't said on the radio, so if this becomes true, this is not my fault, I was just thinking this, people. My biggest fear that he's going to lock himself inside. I was thinking about that the other day. I mean,
Okay, well, and here's the thing. He's
like a 2-year-old. And so I just thought, I was thinking, you know what? That's the only lovers he has left.
Well, he really does. His term.
I mean,
yeah, his
it's
he is
sad.
His term ends at noon on Wednesday, and then it doesn't matter. He can try to lock himself in, but then and it would be sort of like pathetic that, you know, armed guards may have to or someone may have to drag him out. But the new president can certainly order that done. There's no, it's not like Trump can do anything but be, that would be so sad and pathetic I really don't think he's. I mean, I kind of, that would be interesting if he did, but I mean, as sad and pathetic as the rest of it has been, I don't think. I think even Trump knows how that would look to people, and I don't think he'll go that low.
No, I mean, and then they are talking about 2024 and election, and I'm like, okay, you guys barely did anything in the last month of your presidency, and Pence, you were on the task force for COVID-19, and what did you do? You think people are going to want to elect you after you were Trump's puppet master for 4 years? No.
Well, and I think that people are going to get, they're going to have a little time to look back and have a little perspective. And, you know, what are you up to, 400,000 deaths? 400,000, a lot of people from the same family, so. But they all left someone behind. 400,000 people. And they're saying we're, you know, before the end of February we're going to be 500,000. That's 500,000 people that probably are not Trump supporters. Their families are probably not Trump supporters. So when everybody else gets a chance to just look back on how crazy this whole thing has been. I think they'll just say thanks, but no thanks. I do think that the Republicans would just rather be rid of him if they can do it without bringing, you know, fire and brimstone down on themselves from these rabid supporters of his.
I agree.
I don't even think they're. I kind of feel like Trump is like just a convenient vehicle for a lot of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're using this opportunity. I don't think they're really, like, it could be anyone. I don't think it really matters that it's Trump. They're just using this opportunity. So I don't know. We'll find out.
I agree with you. Totally 100%. And today it's been a year since COVID-19 hit Seattle. It's been exactly a year today that the first case of the coronavirus, because we got hit in Seattle, Washington first. I don't know, maybe they hit us here. I don't know. This happened to us first. And so, really, ever since February, about middle of February, I haven't really gone anywhere and done anything crazy or fun. I mean, I've been stuck in Washington State, you guys, okay? I'm not great at being told what to do, and it's like I'm 15 and I'm grounded for something for once. I did not do it because while I'm a teenager, yes, I did a lot. But for once, I did not cause this, but I can't go anywhere. I can't do anything. And, I mean, the only thing that's kept me from going insane, and all my co-hosts and my hosts feel say this to anyone, if we did not have the show, we've been doing interview after interview since the virus started because there was nothing else to do. Hollywood could not say no to me. Well, they couldn't say no to me anyway. But have you worked at all during the virus at all? Have you worked? Oh, because I know they shut Hollywood down again.
It was, you know, I screwed up a huge opportunity I had for whatever reason. I don't even know if you know this. I've been a professional equestrian. So my agent sent out a bunch of horse stuff for a feature. And then out of the blue, I got an audition as a veterinarian for a dying horse. And so, oh, and the other part of this story is my internet is out. And it's intermittently in and out. It's the AT&T has been out 4 times to fix it. It's still not fixed. But anyway, so I'm trying to research this part. I can't do any research. So I do the best I can. I take the script and I work on it. And so I get prepared for my audition. I go through, I'm in the middle of the audition, and I find out it's not for a feature. It's for a half-hour comedy about a dying horse. I'm like, oh, well, that's hysterical. Everyone knows dying horses are always funny. But I was just like, oh, what the – oh. So I found out that a producer friend of mine – called me in on this by Zoom, which was another, that was another fiasco because my phone wouldn't work. I had to borrow a phone to audition. I was in West Hollywood, and I was visiting my friends at Elite Aesthetics over there, and I could not get through with my phone, so I had to borrow a phone to audition. And then in the middle of the audition, they're telling me, you're speed it up. You got to pick it up. You could drive a truck through there. And I'm like, well, if it were my horse, I think I would, probably take a little more time with it. And they go, this is a comedy. And they said, it's really not funny, the matter that we're talking about, but it's a comedy. We got to move faster. And then, so I tried to pretend like I knew that it was a comedy. And I blew that opportunity just by not having all the information. But yeah, that's back to what, yeah, Hollywood had started back. We were completely shut down. And now it's sort of just nobody's. Sort of in limbo. Nobody really knows. Are we doing this or are we not doing this? And it's like it's 1 in 3. 1 in 3 people in Hollywood are infected. So the other part of that is I have friends that work at Cedars. One of the guys in my neighborhood, they're doing some construction over here. One of the guys cut his thumb and he went to the emergency room to get stitches and he sat there.
Oh, God.
And he sat there. And he said, okay, we'll get to you as soon as we can. It's going to be, like in an hour, we'll get to you. Hour goes by, they come back. It'll be like an hour, we'll get to you. An hour goes by, they come back. It'll be like an hour. This went on, and finally he said, screw it. It stopped bleeding. I'm just going to go home. So this guy went home with his mangled thumb that's going to heal how it heals because they just – so it's kind of, there just is no, they just can't get to you. There's just no, they say they can get to you, but if you're not dying, go home.
That's a bad message to send, really, people. But in a way, yeah, my sister who's a PA said the hospitals here are overstaffed, overworked, with this, and if everyone just behaved themselves on Christmas and New Year's, but no, they couldn't do it. We would not be in this mess. And yes, I'm bringing on my host because I know I should. I mean, I really should, but you are one of my favorite people, so it's just like, okay, I'm playing favorites, and I don't care. I don't care because it's my damn show, so I can get away with it, but. My question before I let everyone else on. Okay, when are you going to make me happy and try out for daytime? Because if you do that, especially for me, I could see you face 5 days a week, especially when you're doing general hospital. You know how happy Colin would be? You know how
that
happy
would be
I
fun.
Would be?
That would be a blast. I had, I have a friend on general hospital, actually. His name is Mark. Mark Samuels.
Okay.
And I think he's on general hospital. I knew, there was a bunch of people.
Okay, well, you know, you might as well tell your friend about also because I'm in general hospital for
now.
Yeah,
I know. You just
and
now. I just thought about that.
Yeah, and if you worked on general hospital, you could get close enough to spend all the love of life. And you could tell them, come on here, because you come on here all the time. And then... Maggie will die happy, and I will die happy interviewing. She loves Monique Spinard. So I have to. Oh, you know Felix. Okay. You know Felix.
Felix.
Okay. Yeah, he played Felix. Okay. Tell Mark next time you talk to him to come back on. He's been on his
show. That's Mark's character, is Felix?
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Please tell him Colby loves you, not as much as I love you, but don't say that in the thing. Just tell him to come back on and try and get him on for me, please.
I will. And I'll tell him there was a vote,
because,
but I won. There was an election
you know,
to see
because,
who was going to be on, and it was me.
Yeah, Christoph sings on, taught me a lesson that I never host. And as a celebrity to ask another celebrity, he told me once that never hurts. He told me always try that. So, you know, I'm following his great advice. So, yes. So I better bring on David because I know David's going to be whining at me for, like, ever that I talked to your mom and he did. And, you know, which I do not want to hear on a Monday. And I will bring him on because I'm being nice. Hey, David.
Hi, Rod. How you doing?
Great. How are you, David?
I'm doing good. Awesome. Down here in Florida. It's cold down here.
Cold?
It's storms. Yes, it was 40 degrees last night.
Are you kidding me? 40 degrees?
In Florida, yes. Yeah.
Oh, my
goodness. Florida, yeah. Yeah,
it was in the 80s in Hollywood today. It was ridiculous.
We need to see some of that warm weather down here. We still a little cold. We got cold with warm weather coming up, but it's cold.
Oh, geez, yeah. Yeah, no climate change here, folks. Nothing to see here.
Yeah.
Well,
my question, how do you start acting? How do you become an actor? What was your first big role?
Yo, what's that?
How did you start acting?
When I started acting?
Yeah, how did you start acting?
Oh, how did I start?
Yeah, what was your first big role?
Oh, when I started? Oh, well, geez. Oh, my goodness, what memories. I was a child, and we used to watch, we loved Laugh-In. What was just all those Smothers Brothers, all those shows.
Yeah.
And I would force my brother and sister to perform. We'd put on little shows for my parents, and I would direct and write and do the put the whole thing together. And so it started early, and then I guess the first stage I was on was at our church, at the our Baptist church there, and I just kind of came out of the womb that way. The first Wow, that's hard. What's a big break? You never know what a big break is. The first Marissa Silver was directing. She's a wonderful writer, and she was directing a feature starring Keanu Reeves. And what was the name of that? It was Permanent Record. And
I've seen that movie.
Oh, I'm sorry. And so anyway, so that was like the first. And what I loved about it most was I showed up. I didn't have to decide what I was going to wear. I didn't have to decide what I was going to eat. They put clothes on me. The food was phenomenal. And I just kind of hung out until the cameras rolled and I said what I had to say and moving on. And that's what, oh yeah. Okay. So, and I'm working with Keanu Reeves. Keanu, I love you. I hope you don't hear me. In those days, and I could see now I look back on it and he just must have been a wreck inside. Cause, an entire studio has the weight of a feature riding on this young man that's never done, it was one of his first and he's starring. And so, but I watched him and I was just like, this is what it takes to be a star in Hollywood. That's all you got to do. I'm like, they need me. I got to get to Hollywood if this guy can do it. And so, that was pretty much when I decided, like, yeah, I think I'm going to go be a movie star for a while. And then finally, I caught up with the casting directors. And we were talking, and I couldn't help myself. I'm just like, okay, what is the deal with Keanu Reeves? He's not really known for his acting ability, although he's gotten a lot better. They said, well, Keanu, when he came along, well, he had an interesting name, and no one could really tell what nationality he was, and so we made him a star. I was just like, what? Are you what? A strange name, and no one knows your nationality, and that makes you a star in Hollywood. But I've forgiven them since. it's a wonderful place. Wherever you find yourself, the stories write themselves in this town.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for coming on. And I try to say you're our favorite, one of my favorite guests. You're mine too. So you're always welcome back.
Thank you.
don't worry, he will always come on because he can never say no to me, David. So don't worry.
For me.
Yeah. So now it's Bobby.
Bobby.
Hey Ron, Bobby. How are you doing? Hey Ron.
Good.
How
are you
doing,
Bobby?
I'm doing fine. I just need a little update on what's going on in California as far as what Newsom has as far as the shutdown because it hasn't been affecting the acting industry more than it has been affecting others out there?
Well, you know what? We do our own thing. We're not really, the film and television industry, we take this seriously. We're not screwing around, and we don't really care what Newsom says. We got our own rules. Our union has stepped up. And I got a buddy, he's a cameraman. He does a lot of those shows like the show, all that stuff in Alaska. I think he's doing like Deadliest Catch or something now. And he's a camera guy. But he's got this, there's this whole protocol, even, you know, for the crew. He's got to get tested 3 times consecutively before he even flies out to Alaska. Then when he's in Alaska, he's in quarantine for 2 weeks, and then he goes on set. And then there's the, you know, they test regularly on set. You are basically quarantined while you're working. No outsiders are allowed in. You're not allowed to go out. It's pretty locked down because, you know what, we're not, we're just not fooling around. We're not going to, we're not, none of us, you won't find any of us protesting at a Trader Joe's because we want to shop without masks. I'll tell you that.
That's right. That's right. Because I know that with some of the TV movies that are made, they're doing the same thing for people that go to Vancouver in Canada or to film these TV movies with the laws in Canada where you have to quarantine for 14 days. I don't know how it is up there as far as acting goes versus what it is for sports teams as far as entering the U.S. to Canada, which is not the case in hockey or the NBA. As far as the Canada-based teams this year because of the situation. I know that maybe come the playoff time, when they have to have a bubble for the NHL, it might be a little different than what...
Yeah.
But as far as acting goes, I know that in Vancouver, because most of the films are done for Hallmark or Lifetime, it's shot in Vancouver or Toronto. It's basically the same thing for a U.S. actor where they have to just do the quarantine thing once they get into Canada and everything else, similar to what your friend at the Devilliest Catch had to do with Alaska. But,
yeah, it's pretty much the same for everyone. Even, like, if you book something locally, they're going to, they test you, and they're not going to, send armed guards to make sure you don't leave your house or anything. You
right.
kind of got to be,
No, I don't think they'll never do something like that.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be, you got to be on your best behavior. And you know what? Anybody that books a job, they are so happy to book something right now, they're going to follow all the rules. They're going to definitely, because it's not like you work. It's not like a 9-to-5 that you go to year in, year out. It's a very, it's a special event when you actually book something and you get to work because you never know. And if you mess it up by, bringing a deadly virus into the set and, that's the end of you. That's the end of your career. Never, ever, ever will you ever work again. And so... besides all the moral issues with that, there's definitely a lot of incentive to play by the rules so that you can continue to work in the future.
Right, because I know that California had another virus situation that could be just as worse as COVID just recently, which also affected Colorado and I think a few other states besides that.
Oh yeah, you mean the variant on COVID?
Yeah, the newer virus.
It's the mutation of COVID, and that's what viruses do. That's a whole nother. You know what? It's really amazing what a Democratic hoax can do, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's why you shut these things down like when they first get started so that they don't have a chance to mutate.
Hollywood was torn up shortly after right before the Academy Awards to do something like this, even though they had the Academy Awards and the Emmy Awards for both daytime and primetime and virtually, they were smart enough to just do that.
Yeah, Hollywood shut down March 15th, I think. Everybody was like, nope, everybody's going home for 2 weeks. We thought it was going to be 2 weeks. And it just continued.
Yeah. Yeah. And luckily, some of the shows they've done before COVID have basically aired, because with some of the shows that were actually done live on a weekly basis, basically the talent shows, they had just move it from a studio audience to live to virtually at home for these contestants. And
yeah, I haven't seen. I haven't been. I don't watch that too much. But they, that I know they've been very creative about who would expect artists to be so creative? Who knew? Yeah, but they've been very creative about working around the restrictions and
right. And even
and life continues. You know, we're still
right.
They're still
right.
Making content. So.
Right. And even artists that like comedians and singers have basically moved their acts to virtually online or at home in front of a home audience or front of their friends to film. Because I've seen a couple of comedians that work for Netflix have their shows done like that. But anyway,
yeah.
I will let Nadia talk to you. Otherwise, she will probably kill me later for the fact that David and I took up most of your time.
Oh, don't fool yourself. I think she's got plans anyway. Watch her back for this Nadia girl. She's coming after you.
okay, but I'm just you have a good night.
You too. Good to talk to you.
Hi.
Okay, Bobby, you did very well on your questions. You know, I'm mute tonight. I mute the boys, okay, let's be honest. Okay, so we have a new host, Nadia, and we are going to bring her on the Magian. Hey, Nadia.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello. Hi, nice
how
to meet
you.
You.
Nice
good,
to
how are
you?
You?
Good.
Finally, right?
Yeah.
Here we are.
So glad to have you on the show tonight.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Thank you. Yes, so I'm from Boston, and it's cold here. So
I love Boston.
Do you?
I do, yeah. Do you know where Newton is? Do you know Newton?
I do.
Yeah, so years ago in the early 90s, I used to work for Home Magazine. I used to travel around the country. I would do their article homes as I'm a handyman contractor kind of guy. And
oh, wow.
So for Home Magazine, we were redoing a house in Newton. And we were so close to Boston, and we were working like crazy, 12 hours a day, 16 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I told these guys, like, you know what? I am going to be really pissed off if we do not get into Boston. We have got to get into Boston. And
exactly.
And they promised me, yeah. And so we finally got in there, but I was dead tired. I remember we were going, we had got this cab driver that was driving us all over on these horrible little tiny, like, obviously these streets they were cobblestone streets wide enough for a horse and buggy.
Yeah, and they're just alleyways.
yeah. They're paved cow trails, or not even paved,
yep.
They're cobblestone. And he's driving a million miles an hour saying, that's over there, and that's over there, and, you know, pointing stuff out, and I'm trying to keep my eyes open. And but I do what I remember most is it's the first time I ate oysters. There was some like fancy seafood place downtown, and they took us there, and some older guy talked to me. There was no way I was going to eat oysters, but this older guy there, someone's dad, talked me into it. And so I had it, had the oysters, said I had it. I was drunk enough to have oysters. It was all good. But I really, I got to get back when I'm awake and see Boston.
Yes, you definitely have to come back to Boston. It's a nice city.
Yeah, one of my
very historical.
That's why I wanted to go. All the history there. It was amazing that those cobblestone streets are still there after. How old are those streets? How old are those cobblestones? Those are what, 200
years
old?
I'm sure they've been there for years.
Yeah, it's been there forever. So, one of my favorite, one of my buddies was an electrician from Boston, and I just always, I loved his accent, and he was a hoot. Joe moved back. He took his family and moved back to Boston this couple years ago. So, more reasons to go.
Exactly. More reasons to go. You got friends here and everything. That's cool.
Yeah.
So my question for you is, do you were you ever in any Broadway musicals or Broadway theater?
No. I had a lot of friends that did Broadway. No,
mm-hmm.
But even better than that. Okay, so in the 90s, I worked, so Alan Carr, the producer of Grease, produced Grease, he produced La Cage aux Folles. Alan Carr was my manager. And we became friends, closer than friends. We were like, you know, he's my uncle, Uncle Alan, he's family. And my job, so he put me to work, and my job was to go to New York and watch all the Broadway shows and decide which ones we needed to buy the rights to produce the film rights, the movie rights to. So I would go to New York, and all these producers would be calling me up and throwing tickets at me. It's like, come, please come watch my show. Come watch my show. Come watch my show. And so that was like the dream job. My job was to go to New York and watch all the Broadway plays and decide which ones to buy the movie rights to. And so I had a lot of friends. So I did. And then the last show I was working on as a producer, with Uncle Alan, was the Musical Adventures of Tom Sawyer.
Tom Sawyer. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So there's a lot of I didn't. And then one of my close friends from childhood. Well, childhood. We were young men. Was Brooks Ashmanskas. He's a Broadway star out there, and he's a tapper, an amazing tapper. So there's Brooks. I've got a ton of friends that have. I mean, Broadway wouldn't be able. Broadway would have to shut down if they didn't have my friends, because they wouldn't be able to staff the place.
Oh, wow.
So, anyway. Wow. Yeah, I used to. One of the greatest stories in the world. We were going to go. John Leguizamo is doing this show. It's called Freak. He was doing Freak on Broadway. So we got tickets. I'm there with Uncle Alan. And we're going to go see John Leguizamo's Freak. And we're going with Joan Collins.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's Uncle Alan, me, Joan Collins, and Joan's assistant, Joan. And so Uncle Alan and I take a cab over. We're there. We're waiting. And then Joan Collins shows up. And, of course, she shows up in this stretch black limo. It has to be a black limo because white is tacky. Of course, she had to tell us this. And so she shows up. And then she gets out, leopard skin, this and that, head to toe, dressed to the nines. You go see what the locals call a bridge and tunnel show. So it's kind of a local, like it's a street show. John Leguizamo's Freak. So we're sitting there, third row center, and there are people about to fall over the balcony to see if that really is Joan Collins in the theater. And so it was very difficult to figure out whether the performance was happening on the stage or third row center, because people were watching third row center more than they were watching John Leguizamo. But
oh, wow.
That was, yeah, because it's like Joan, I don't know, if Joan Collins was, do you know who that is, don't you, Nadia? Are you too young to
yes.
know who she is? Okay.
No.
Okay. So, yeah, in the 90s, she was, you know, more relevant, I guess. And so it was a big deal there. And between shows, do you know who Steve Guttenberg is?
I don't.
Steve Guttenberg was a star of Police Academy and Cocoon. He starred in Cocoon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so Steve Guttenberg and I would run, we would go to these shows and we would go, like, he knew every tunnel. Like, it was amazing. We were bounding through, like, these underground passages, these stairways that went down to tunnels that went under the streets that went to other theaters. And then we'd briefly come up on the sidewalk and a million people would want his autograph. And it took forever to go anywhere with this man because he couldn't walk 5 feet without someone wanting his autograph. And so anyway, he knew all these tunnels, which was the most amazing thing that you would never even expect to have, like, even exist. But there is a way to get around New York with minimal street time. So,
oh,
and
wow.
He knew them. Yeah, he was a master of it.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's,
you guys
awesome.
Got me going down memory lane.
I know. Wow. That's amazing, huh?
Way, way back.
Yeah, well, I'm glad because, I mean, I love theater. You know, Broadway theater, musicals, they're my favorite. I'm a season ticket holder at the Boston Opera House here in Boston. And
nice.
Broadway's back. I go to every single show.
Well, we love, yeah, I can tell you, everyone, you know, everybody loves that support. Thank you so
yes.
much. We
You're
really,
welcome.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, that's,
yep.
It's been forever since I've done a play, a musical, and it was always such a great time. I've been thinking I want to do one again, but it's so much work. You have to work.
I know, it's a lot of work. Yeah, yep.
So, it is.
But if you ever do, you let me know which one you're in.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it'll be. Yeah. I'm going to set my sights lower because, you know, my dog expects me to be home. And
right.
I don't want to disappoint him. He's a good dog.
Exactly. Well, it was very nice to talk with you.
My pleasure.
And
of course, Bonnie
is the
one. He always comes back. Always,
yeah,
always, always. You know, he always comes back because of me. Not David. I just want to clear this up. It's me. David and I were on a fighting over you, just so you know. Okay, so Nadia, I'm going to put you on hold, and then I'm going to bring on Maggie to close the show. Hey, Maggie.
Hey, how you doing, Ron? Hi, Carly.
Hi.
I've been enjoying your stories. I really am.
I'm that old man.
Like every,
at the...
Well, don't say that. I'm up there too.
Thank God you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do. I mean, to me, the 90s was yesterday. So were the 60s.
Oh. Well, good. Because, yeah, we need more people that remember the 50s. And
didn't we
well,
learn
the
80s, anything?
We can, that's my point. Oh, my good. The 60s. Here's my point.
Yes.
as a nation, we learned.
Thank you.
Why we learned as a nation that abortion should be legal. We learned this as a nation. Actually, Republicans were the ones that said, you know what, we should make this legal. And because of all the horrible things that were happening, I remember this woman that I was a child. Surprise, I was a child in the 60s.
Everybody was. 2 years ago.
Yeah. And we had these two boys come live with us because their mom couldn't take care of them, Jeffrey and Michael. And their mom was pregnant again, and she couldn't take care of the two she already had. And I remember her trying to miscarry. She would ride the horses and jump them. Like, she was like 8.5 months pregnant, jumping horses in a Western saddle. But there were stories like that, and people, you know, women throwing themselves down stairwells and all, you know, all that horrible, horrible, horrible stuff. So we learned that lesson, and then here we are. I mean, here we are learning, you know, thinking we got to learn this again. It's sad. So.
Well, I always like the adage that if you don't learn from history, you're bound to repeat it. And
history not learned is history repeated. Exactly. And so the whole, not to get political or anything, but the my friends that think there should be term limits. I mean, I kind of agree.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want term limits, but at the same time, I want someone in there that remembers why we do things the way we do them, because we tried that before and it didn't work. And if we don't have, you know, if we don't have people that remember that stuff, then we're destined to repeat it. So anyway,
right.
I'm sure you have better things to talk about than.
No. Well, I didn't know that about New York. My mom used to work downtown for the Reserve Bank, and we used to go in Chicago, and we used to go underground to go into the different stores.
You did?
Yeah. Yeah.
In New York?
Yeah. No, in Chicago. We had that
in Chicago.
We could go from store to store. And I thought that was the most amazing thing ever, because it'd be snowing outside, and we'd be perfectly dry.
Well, that's the only other city I've been in, like Montreal. You go to Montreal in the middle of winter in January, and, you know, there are giant blocks of ice parked where cars should be parked. And Montreal actually has their public – I mean, it's not a secret. Their sidewalks are underground because of the weather.
Ooh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I just thought to myself, it's like any place that has to have their sidewalks underground should probably not exist. If it's that cold, you better find a better place to live.
Exactly.
But they have both. They have the sidewalks above and below.
Well, they both. Excellent. Well, Chicago does too. I don't know if they still have the underground, but Tom Sawyer did a musical. That one I don't remember.
That?
Tom Sawyer. Tom Sawyer.
The musical, The Musical Adventures of Tom Sawyer.
Really?
Yeah, that was the show we were working on just before Uncle Alan died, and he died June of
99.
So that's been 22 years. Coming up on 22 years. Seems like yesterday.
You know.
I remember it. Like,
it is yesterday.
Yeah.
I was telling my son, I had tickets to see Neil Diamond, and Martin was was assassinated. he looked at me like that. And I said, Franklin King was assassinated, and I wasn't allowed to go. And I said, it was horrible, a peaceful man, and then he suffered, and then I couldn't see Neil Diamond.
What happened? You couldn't?
No, I had tickets to see Neil Diamond. And my father wouldn't let me go because of what was going on at the time. They were rioting and doing stuff, right?
Where was it? Now, this was where? In Chicago?
This was in Chicago. Mm-hmm. He was here in Chicago. So they had the 50th anniversary thing, the record, whatever they want to call them nowadays. And I go, okay, yeah, I remember that well. It was yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, have you watched, did you watch that, what is it, the Chicago 7? What was that?
Yes.
Did you love that? I love that.
Oh, yes. I love it. Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I recommend it. I thought it was eye-opening. It kind of filled in a lot of the blanks. Being a kid, yeah, I kind of didn't put it all together. So it helped fill in the blanks. And Sacha Cohen Baron was... more than I thought he could be. So that was a nice,
mm-hmm.
that was something.
It was.
Yeah.
I highly recommend it.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, a little bit of history doesn't hurt anyone.
It doesn't. I mean, only 9/11, everything. It should be shown because we don't want to get our guard down. And a younger generation doesn't know what you're talking about. And that just happened. How many years? 20 years ago?
I know. No. Can you believe it? And I know exactly. Well, everybody knows where they. Well, anybody that was alive then knows. Well, not
mm-hmm.
anybody. I guess you could have been an infant and not know. But most people know exactly where they were.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, if I go right over here, I am
really?
At this moment exactly where I was on 9/11.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yes, in this very same spot.
Oh my God. Oh.
Yeah.
You were really in it. Oh my. Oh.
Well, it's really hard to listen to these people that say 9/11 was a hoax. It didn't happen.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know like where to start with that. People are still mm-hmm. dying from the effects mm-hmm. of 9/11, and and I just wonder how does that benefit your life in any way? How does that make your life better to deny the misery and the suffering? Like
mm-hmm.
it happened. And if that makes you happy to deny it, well, be happy. Mm-hmm. But I don't see how it's going to benefit you.
Mm-mm. My dad was a Chicago fireman, so especially hit me because of the firehouse there. The guys and that's their job. Daddy would do that here in Chicago with the different riots and stuff. And you go to work, you get your daughter and go to my wife and go to work, and they go into the buildings that are on fire.
They don't even think about it. They just do
it. No. That's what Daddy said. I said, come on now, really? He says, you have no time to think. You just do it. That's your job, and you got to help. And I go, oh, my God. Everybody wants to get out of a fire. You know, they're going in it. But I think of it, and I go, the tragedies and how we should learn. I hope we're learning. I hope.
Wow, you just touched on something though, that because I was thinking, you know, when they let this guy out on bail, the guy that was stealing Nancy Pelosi's lectern, like he's a husband and he's got five kids and and I was just like, you know what, he didn't seem to be thinking about his five kids when he was, you know, participating in an insurrection. And stealing the lectern and putting his life on line. He didn't seem to think it was too important to be a father right then. But, you know, when you've maybe, and I'm trying to make up excuses for these people, maybe it was like being a fireman. Your dad didn't think about it. That was his job. He just did it. This is the only defense I can come up with for this guy is that he just, he just did it because maybe he thought it was his job. But that was my original thought was, you know, your children should probably be taken away because obviously your judgment isn't so great. And I imagine his wife is probably contemplating divorce about now.
I would think. That's why my own automatic thought was, let's get out of this right now.
Yeah, I mean, her life is ruined. Her family's life is ruined because this clown's in there, like, posing for pictures as he, you know, escapes with Nancy Pelosi's lectern.
I totally think, sometimes I think, which is when you can't really do it, people should really learn when they have children. I mean, you know, you have to learn to get a driver's license. And it's like children are supposed to thrown away and people don't consider them anymore. It's like, okay, they can walk, they can talk, I'll do my own thing. And
it's sort of... the people that used to be respected and we would look up to, and you would actually look up to them and think, someday I want to be like that guy or woman, in your case. And that doesn't seem to. I don't think that exists anymore. But my neighbor's dad. I mean, I was afraid of him. He was like really like stern and strict and seemed really mean. And then one time he actually, he actually went out of his way a couple of times to compliment me on my horsemanship and how I handled animals. And so when I look back on it, he was actually, I think the stories my neighbors told me about their dad were probably a little exaggerated. But he was definitely the kind of man that you would strive to be. You would want to grow up to be like him. Maybe not as mean, but...
I'm probably not me either. Well, I wanted to be a fireman like my father. But it was back in the day when women were not firemen. And I said, okay, fine, that's okay. I can live with this. I'd rather be, you know, be me.
And
I go, Dad, you had to think of the next generation or the future and what you're leaving for the world. Hopefully this COVID thing will get a handle on it because,
future. That's hopefully what they people look at how this was handled. The future generations look at this and they can say to themselves, "Well, we know how not to do it."
Exactly. This was my thought.
Yeah.
You know, it's a learning lesson. You're going to learn this lesson. Don't do it. This is not the way. I don't know. How was your winter in New York?
What's that?
How's your winter in New York?
Oh, actually right now I'm in Hollywood. I'm in California.
Oh, you're in California.
Yeah.
It
was in the 80s today.
Oh, God, really?
It was miserable.
Wow, you must have put a coat on.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't go out without a coat after all, you know.
I put the coat on because it is January, but it got so sweaty that I had to take it off. So it was just...
Oh, okay. I'm glad you took it off. You know, one hand tip, heat stroker. 80s. That sounds so good.
It's been insane.
It
actually felt pretty good, other than it's a double-edged sword. I'm like, wow, this feels so great. It's in the 80s. But at the same time, I'm thinking it's 80s now. What's it going to be in July?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ay, ay, ay. 121 degrees. It got here. 121 degrees last August.
Degree?
Wow.
Oh, my God. 121?
Yeah, 121. I have plants that looked like they were cooked and ready to eat in the backyard. They were just.
I believe it.
Yeah, it was horrible, horrible, horrible.
Oh.
And there was, I was thinking, and the, I guess I jinxed it because I was thinking just like a couple days before that, I was like, yay, end of August, and we didn't have any hot days. Yay, we made it. And then next thing you know,
dang mouth.
Yeah.
You didn't,
it was bad.
Bad. Well, I have a grandson, and he worked so hard. I saw the video of building a snowman. And he didn't think he was really working it because they live in Indiana, and he's working it. And I said something. I said, yeah, but it didn't last. And I said, well, you could have called your mother, and I would have told you what the weather was going to be like. Because it's all gone. And he goes, they're disappointed. And I said, well, that's okay. It's just January. It'll come back.
Yeah. Hang on. It'll hopefully.
Hang on.
Yeah, that, the, well, and, you know, it's so crazy. We had, a couple weeks ago, we had a really cold blast come through here. There was snow in the hills just not far from where I am. My friend, she's in the foothills up here. She sent photos. Her front yard was white from probably was combination hail and snow. So it just gets so volatile. It'll be freezing, and then you know next thing you know it's 80 degrees.
That is volatile.
So,
So you don't have seasons either.
We
usually
have
two seasons.
Two seasons, yeah,
in
right.
California. We only have two seasons here.
It's hot until, you know, one day in October, then it just changes. It just changes, and then it's cold, and then one day in March, it's just hot again. Yeah.
Here we have winter and summer.
Well,
you're frozen.
I grew up in Oregon where it was just on the west side, not the east side, the west side, where it was just like mostly just wet. There were a few days of sunshine in July, but mostly it was just wet.
Because they always sleep in Seattle with all the rain. It's probably where she lives, and I'm going. She goes, it's raining, it's raining again.
Yeah. I think Seattle gets a little more rain than the Portland area. And then my equestrian friends here that, oh my goodness, when it rains here, oh, they lock everything up. And I used to take my horse out and ride in the rain here, and they say, oh my God, how do you do it? How do you do it? I'm like, I'm from Oregon. If we didn't ride in the rain, we would have never rode. So
no, never would.
Rain is nothing. Yeah.
We get the snow wherever, and then it'll get melt like it does, and then people are back on their motorcycles riding around the street because it's dry now. Okay.
Well, that's
then.
Believe it or not, Portland, with all their rain, they've got this whole, like, there's all these people there that love their convertibles. And the minute the weather is warm enough to put the top down without damaging the top, the tops are down and they're driving around.
Wow.
That's just how it is up there. You get 10 minutes to drive with the top down, you take it.
Exactly. Yeah, I would think, because you don't get that often. It's too hot and beating down sun. And
oh, the worst, yeah. I have a convertible here, too. And
we do?
I never put the Oh, yeah. I don't put the top down because you usually end up sitting in traffic next to someone's exhaust pipe, and end up breathing in, you know, exhaust fumes. If it were, you know, out on the open freeway where you can just drive, yeah, I'd have the top down and just cruise.
Oh.
But it's so hot. In the snow, sure, why not?
Sure, yeah, definitely.
It's a cloth top.
Get the refurge on the car.
Crack.
You won't smell it.
Yeah.
Well, my son, we love black cars. And they always say the black leather will be hotter and it's not that good and all that blah, blah, blah. But we love it that way.
Do you remember of course, you remember the MGBs, right?
Yes, I sure do.
Well, I've had this is my third one. I had in the 80s I had my first one was a 77 and black with the black interior. And I drove it up into the mountains in Oregon, and then it got too cold because of that vinyl top. You can't if it gets too cold, you can't put it up because it'll crack.
Correct.
So there I was stuck. It got the temperature dropped, so I had to drive home in this freezing weather with the top down because I would damage it. And then it started raining, so there I am driving with the top down because I don't want to damage it in this freezing weather in the rain.
Oh no! The interior of your car, the carpet got wet and everything.
If you drive fast enough, the wind, it kind of stays out of the interior. It kind of goes out. It keeps it from getting. You know, you can stay kind of dry. But the problem is, if you slow down, then it falls right into the car.
No trains around, right?
No planes.
No trains, because I know over here where you get stuck and you're by a train forever and the weather will change.
Oh, yeah, no. Thankfully, I had a clear shot from, it was at my uncle's place up in the mountains back to my place. And it was a freezing drive, freezing, mostly wet, but got there with, didn't damage anything.
Ooh.
Put the car in the barn and let it warm up, and then got it all. Learn from that one. Didn't do that again.
So that's how we do. We learn. That's what you're supposed to do. Learn from it.
Yeah. Or, you know, do it again until you do learn.
I always learn the hard way. I don't know why.
There's no better way to do it.
Do you remember Pet Rocks a few years ago?
Of course, a few years ago. Pet Rocks, the dumbest thing. Oh, no, the only thing dumber than Pet Rocks was Pet Nails. There was right after the... Oh, yeah. There were...
really?
Yes. They after they... When the Pet Rock got to be, like, all the rage...
Uh-huh.
I was at the local retailer. They were a grocery. That was kind of one of those combination stores, grocery, everything kind of store. And they had, you know, the I thought the next big thing, because the Pet Rock thing, everybody had a Pet Rock. And then I saw a Pet Nail, and it was like this giant nail. And so I bought one.
Really?
It was probably the dumb. I should have kept it. Oh my goodness, that would have been.
You should have.
What a
collector's item.
What a piece of history that would have been right about now.
Yeah, it really would have been.
Yeah.
Wait, Daddy got me one. I'm looking for it. I can't find it. And because I'm an optimist, right? I would go with glasses half full. So it says, I'm an optimist, but I suffer a lot.
But I what?
Yeah, I suffer a lot.
I suffer a lot?
Mm-hmm. And I said, Daddy, I go, Daddy, he said, that's you. You'll think everything's great, but on the inside you're suffering, you know. And I go, but then the boys had the Beanie Babies, you know.
I had a friend when that Beanie Baby thing was going on. A friend, I call him a friend. It's the guy I hired. He was a friend once. I hired him.
Okay.
I sent him to. I was producing these parties, and I was. You know who T.D. Jakes is?
Mm-hmm.
The minister. Okay, so I was producing the 25th anniversary of T.D. Jakes being a minister, and it was in Texas someplace. And so I was doing, and I was also producing another party. I couldn't go, so I hired this friend of mine, who from film, he was a prop master. So he got it. He understood the whole concept. It's like this is this, you know, when the party starts, that's showtime. Be ready. So he goes. He's doing a good job, and but. He's got some free time, and I don't know how on earth, on his free time, he found this deal on Beanie Babies. And that's about the time when they were becoming collectible, and, like, there were certain ones that were going up in value, like, thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And so he calls back, and he goes, I need $1,200. Can you loan me $1,200? I'm like, well, what do you need $1,200 for? He goes, I found this deal on Beanie Babies. I'm like, what are you talking about, Beanie Babies? It's like, no. You gotta know. No, this is. I'm gonna be a millionaire. I'm gonna buy these Beanie Babies and I'm gonna resell them and I'm gonna make $1 million. I'm like, no.
Wow.
I'm not loaning you $1,200 to buy stuffed animals. And he found some guy there that was going out of business selling all of his Beanie Babies. And he bought cases of these things and lost all his money.
Oh, no.
That was about the time when nobody wanted Beanie Babies.
No. He had an idea, though.
He did. While he was on, you know, the thought, the instincts were there. But
it just didn't follow through.
Yeah, it took a little more. Yeah. Yeah, what's the old adage? Sell the news, buy the rumor.
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
that's a perfect analogy. You got it.
Yeah. Poor guy. Yeah, he.
Poor guy. Oh.
But you know, he had Christmas gifts for decades after that.
Of course. If I can stop for sure, you are.
Well, who knows? You know what? If he's, you know, if
maybe
he
now.
Went long enough, maybe those things will actually be worth something.
Yeah, there you go. Can't hurt to wait.
It just gotta wait.
Doesn't take that much space. You can wait with it.
Yeah, put them in the attic. Wait 20 years.
Oh, God. This is so much fun talking to you tonight. Really, I always enjoy when you're on, but we're touching on some subjects. You're welcome.
Yeah,
that I think about, but
track.
These young people don't. These young people don't.
Young people, eh? Sorry, Carly.
Bye, Carly. Well, I'm technically the oldest, so.
Yeah, we're the designated geezers.
Exactly. Oh, that's what I wanted to mention to you. Okay. You're probably from my era that you cannot bring booze out of a restaurant or a bar.
What?
You know now, booze. You buy a drink and you can't take it home with you. You have to finish it there or leave it, right?
Yeah.
You know, now you can get booze to go.
Well, I think only because of COVID. I think you can, or like,
yeah.
I think they will bring drinks to your house.
Because my soul's already made an order for taco stuff, you know, in Mexican. He says, oh, by the way, do you have a pitcher of margaritas? And the guy goes, I can't sell you that. He said, oh, no, wait, I'll talk to my boss. My boss is surely selling that. It's more money for the business.
Well, yeah. The well, and the other here's the interesting. I don't know if you're as excited about these self-driving cars as I am, but I am really looking forward to having a self-driving car because you can. I'm imagining you can send it to do your errands. You can send it to the grocery store and say, "Look, my car's going to be there. Just put stuff in it, and it'll come back to me." And you can, and then the other, you know, you could go to the bar when they're open again and drink, and then your car will just drive you home. And I'm really, and plus, you know, when you get old and you got to go to your doctor and you got to have some young person drive you because you can't drive it would just, I think it'll make life so much easier for everyone involved to not have to drive me around.
Hmm. Never thought of it that way. Yeah, I can dig it. I mean, it's better than me driving. Well, I'm not a driver. I used to be, but I wasn't very good at it.
That's kind of how I described doing drywall. My friends, they were building an office in their garage, and so I went to help. And I just loved doing drywall. I wasn't any good at it, but I liked doing it.
Hmm. Okay.
So anyway, their office suffers as a result. But you know, I like doing it. I'm just not any good at it.
Right. But you tried at least. They gave you an A for effort or E for effort.
It's one of those things.
Congratulations. We tried it.
Thanks. Yeah. Well, I watched these guys. You know, I have built many houses, and I always, my buddy, I always hired this guy, Juan, that is just incredible. And he shows up and he has got the equipment. He's got all this incredible equipment that makes the job effortless. But the best thing he's got are these stilts. He's got these like aluminum stilts that you put on kind of like shoes, and then you walk around at 10 feet tall and you can reach everything from these things. And he lets me wear them. And so that's the best part. I just like to wear those stilts and walk around. I don't I got to get a pair of these things just to have, but it's kind of fun.
Well, you could change light bulbs or, you know, just put a little fan and change the light bulb.
Yeah, they're incredible. Apparently from what I heard, they're sold in a kit, and like the kit is like $7,000. And I don't know that that's, you know, necessarily worth spending $7,000 to have these stilts, but you know, you got to have goals.
Oh, yeah. Can you borrow them?
Yeah, well, that's why I hire this guy. He lets me wear them.
See? That's all you have to do. Just keep borrowing them.
Yeah, that's the exciting part of it.
You brought that up. Remember the wooden stilts back in the day?
I do. Oh, geez. Yeah. Boy, do I remember those. Those were great. Oh my gosh! You know, I used to do. I produce these parties, and for entertainment, I used to hire this group called Girls on Stilts.
Really?
And it was Precious Chong. You know Cheech and Chong?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Tommy Chong's daughter, Precious Chong, had this group she put together. She was my neighbor. We lived in this apartment building over here in Larchmont Village. She lived right above me. And one day I woke up, I thought we were having an earthquake. My windows were rattling. And it was just Precious getting ready to go out for the day. And I was just thinking, how the hell did she get the name Precious? There is nothing. She does not move in a Precious way ever. But anyway, so Precious Chong had this group, and so they would, the girls on stilts, and they had those old wooden stilts. They were amazing. They did all kinds of cool things.
Oh, Precious. Okay. Well, they never knew when they named her that.
Oh my gosh, you guys, we have gone an hour and 35 minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm enjoying this conversation.
I know, feel bad.
Oh, you've done it to me again,
really,
Carly.
Really, we want you back whenever.
Please.
And you can. And if you, like, give a stiff vote, anything like you do with Trump, I'm not telling you to do anything. But if you did, we will bail you out. Daytime After Dark will bail you out. Totally.
If, I'm sorry,
totally
my phone. You'd bail me out if I did.
I'm
my
telling
phone
you to do anything. Was this an idea? Like, Maggie's been talking, so my idea in my brain was, ask Maggie, it's not a good when my ideas come in my head.
They go in her head and out her mouth.
Thanks a lot, Maggie.
You're welcome. I love you.
Please come back. But please come back very soon, because we've all, five of us now. Well, okay, I can't even count. When you're back, so please come back.
My pleasure. It was fun.
Please. This is a lot of fun. Thank you so very, very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mon.
Thank you. Love you all.
Love you all. Stay safe.
We love you.
Take care. Talk to you later.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. Later. He's always a hoot when he's on.
Okay, I'm putting everyone back on air for just a minute because someone is starving. Okay, is everyone here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello.
David,
hello.
Bobby.
Oh,
hi.
Hello.
Hi, David.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay,
I'm here.
David.
So,
can you hear me?
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but my stomach was outbidding you. It kept growling.
Yeah.
And I was
either.
Afraid we might go to 9 o'clock tonight with the way things are going. And, yeah. So, everyone, we have a couple of announcements before we say goodbye. David, what's our announcement?
Carly, unmute me.
Yeah, I'm muted.
Oh, I didn't hear it. I'm muted.
Oh, no.
Can you
I
hear
you.
Me? Oh, never mind.
Can you hear us, David?
I'm
here.
Can you hear me?
Is the announcement, David?
Yes.
Oh,
right. Yes.
Bobby, we can hear you.
Yes.
Bobby,
no.
Can you
hear me?
Yeah.
You can hear me?
We can hear you.
Oh, my God.
Bob,
okay.
Can you hear us?
Okay.
So, David, can you please tell everyone the announcement really quick?
Okay, JC, no show tomorrow. JC Bender scheduled. It's February 26th. No show tomorrow. No show tomorrow.
Yeah,
and we'll send
back
Stacey.
On
February
26th. On Tuesday, right?
No show tomorrow. No show tomorrow.
No, Tuesday,
be scheduled.
I said.
No
Tuesday,
show tomorrow.
Right?
No show.
No Tuesday.
Tomorrow
no,
is Tuesday.
Show tomorrow.
I didn't say Tuesday. I said
Thursday.
We have a show Thursday and Friday, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
David,
no,
then you are Paul. In your hall
okay,
at 12 o'clock.
Well, we should end before Blog Talk ends us. And
Daniel
Blog
Hall.
Talk will just hang up on us and
Daniel
we
Hall.
So, great job, everyone.
It's God for the younger West. It's God for you.
We'll be back on Tuesday.
One more.
Yes, we're out of it.
Okay, bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye.